This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Coming up this morning, we've got State Representative Mike Sparks. Mike, how are you this morning?
Thanks for the invitation.
So is everything wrapped up for the past session at this point?
Yeah, it is. You know, the governor's initiative on the Opportunity Scholarship looks like it's real successful. You know, there's a lot of demand for that. I think they were really kind of overwhelmed with the applications. I believe they had 33,000 that had enrolled. And in fact, I just got off the phone with someone in Nashville. I was like, well, how does that work when you have, you know, he said, it's first come, first serve.
Now, are these scholarships tied directly to funds from the Tennessee Lottery, or what are these tied to?
No, it's we allocated, I forgot how many more millions of dollars that was invested in that to give, you know, give parents that option if they want to choose, you know, have school choice. I mean, some will not choose, but I had an interesting call this week from, I won't go into detail who he was, and he was a young guy. He had a little five-year-old, and he says, you know, I'm wanting to make sure that I can get my little girl in here. So I've gotten some phone calls on it, but it looks like it's going to be successful. I mean, I know it was considered controversial, but, you know, our schools are full. We're overwhelmed. I mean, the next high school is projected to be $180 million. And when they say $180 million, then you better allocate another $10 million because it's probably going to be $190 to $200 million. And that same school 5 years ago was $90 million. So these costs have escalated so high. And the cost of construction, you know, we're overwhelmed with growth here in Rutherford County. That's why I said the other day, folks in California, Detroit, and New York, stay in your own state. We're overwhelmed in Rutherford County. I know people may not like me saying that, but it's unsustainable to keep doing the same thing that you've always done and expect different results. And I think it was Einstein that said that was the definition of insanity. So the Opportunity Scholarship legislation, I think, is gonna have the marketplace play a role. And I think some of the private schools, some of the maybe the Catholic school here and others, I think they will expand because we'll see the numbers and they'll start getting these phone calls and they'll start implementing their future plans. And I think they'll add some classroom space to accommodate these students.
So if somebody out there has a child that goes to a Rutherford County school and they say to themselves, you know, hey, I want my child to go to XYZ private school next year instead, do they just apply for this money and then they automatically get it and then they send their child to the private school? And then does that take money away from the county school the child was going to go to?
That's the argument that a lot of folks have made. But I'll go back to a bill that was considered controversial years ago that we passed. And I didn't really understand why it was controversial because it goes back to choice. It was the special needs like Opportunity Scholarship. I don't think it was called that, but it was Deborah Moody, if folks wanted to research this. Deborah Moody passed this bill. I guess it got passed maybe 6 years ago. And the funds follow the child. And I couldn't imagine, you know, raising a child with disabilities. You know, it would be so challenging for parents to do this. And I know the challenges I went through with two sons that didn't have many issues, but the county would still retain some of those funds, even though that child that was special needs would go to this other school that would have specialties in helping that child. And I know our school system, we do have a great school system, there's no doubt. But I remember, and I won't say this educator's name, he's an educator for 50 years, and I thought a lot of this guy. The guy even paddled me back in the day, and it wasn't Mr. Rakes, which is another paddling I got, a few paddlings. And the guy, I meet with the guy, and have a lot of respect for this man, and he didn't like this bill. And he says, Mike, there's no place for those kids to go, those parents to go. And I said, but Mr. So-and-so, why would you be against it?
So why were they against it?
You tell me. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. My logic is if you're the parent of a child that special needs or has some type of disability, then you know what's best for that child. You care more passionately about that child. From what I have seen about the bill, and I've talked to Deborah Moody, it's been successful. I think there's about 430 students or somewhere in there that have taken advantage of that. That's the special needs opportunity scholarship. So this, I mean, they're already overwhelmed with 33 applications on day one.
33,000 applications day one.
So I'm surprised the system didn't crash.
And again,
I just think it could help us relieve some of the overcrowding. Sometimes disruption is a good thing. Sometimes technology disruption is a good thing. New ideas, they get controversial. You get people that are going to be no. And I've seen people be no on issues because they want to continue doing the same thing they've always done and expect different results. But like I told somebody the other day, well, just now on the radio, I mean, on the way up here, I was talking to a guy. I said, but, you know, there's concerns I've got with it, but I'm reminded of a quote that I really like by Voltaire that said, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Think about it. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. So if we expect things to always be perfect, it's never going to happen. We're always going to have glitches. You're always going to have improvement. So the governor's passionate about this, and it did pass. So if folks want to know more, just Google it. Tennessee Education Freedom Scholarship Act. Department of Education has all the information on their site.
Now, is this totally unrelated to that school choice bill?
This is it.
This is it, period. This is the end result of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the end result of that equals a scholarship fund.
Yep.
Again, if somebody gets a scholarship and they send their child to a private school, does it for sure take money away from the local public school system?
Well, I think you can make that argument, but I think if you've got a school that's already overcrowded and it relieves and those dollars follow that, then you're relieving the overcrowding. Where you're not having to build that $180 million school. What's the name of the school? Is it Tulip Grove? Is that on the Beatty Farm?
Poplar Grove, the one that's on the Beatty Farm? I don't remember now.
Okay.
There's so many schools we have these days.
Look at the cost of these things.
They're very expensive.
Here's what gets me upset with government. And I know I'm in government, so kind of an oxymoron when I'm in there. But I get frustrated with the system. And I don't mean to say status quo, but here's case in point. I remember meeting with Dean Urban with the College of Business, and him and I quickly became friends. And I guess we just kind of thought alike. He's a former military guy. You know, my dad was military and kind of probably has some of his thinking. I was working on my second book, not trying to plug book or anything. It was called Learn to Barter and Do More with Less. So I'm up there and I'm interviewing him about my book, and I'm trying to get ideas. And I was talking about the national debt at the time. I think we were 21 trillion in debt at that time when I'm working on this book. And that's been about 11 years ago. So I meet with him in his office, and also wanted my son to talk to him. My son had just graduated, wanted him to get his graduate degree. And so he says, Mike, I'm really concerned about the college tuition debt. And to be honest with you, I really didn't think about college tuition debt because I had no college debt. My son had some debt. You know, he had some scholarships too. But he said, Mike, we just hit $1 trillion of debt. We just hit $1 trillion. Well, no one had ever told me about this, never thought about it. Well, the next day I'm with Bob Corker at the Stones River Country Club. And at the end, Corker raised, you know, had people ask for, you know, questions. So I raised my hand and I said, sir, you know, we just hit $1 trillion with the college debt. This is unsustainable. Same thing I'm telling you. We need new ideas, new solutions, maybe some online, maybe a hybrid course, maybe some collaboration with new ideas and students. We got to get the cost down. You know what that cost is now?
What is it?
About $1.9 billion.
The amount of debt?
Yeah. These students have.
Students have got for college.
Well, maybe $1.85 billion.
Now, is that statewide? Or is that nationwide?
Nationwide.
That's a lot of money.
Trillion.
Man.
Trillion. And you know how many lobbyists there are for this?
Zero.
Not a damn one. Zero. And you got all these. People don't realize what the hell goes on in government. There's a book of lobbyists. It's like 65 pages.
And this is just Tennessee.
Just Tennessee. Okay. Oh, I don't know what it would be if you put a book together. And there's no disrespect to, you know,
to lobbyists.
People that are government liaisons, lobbyists, whatever you want. They're, you know, they have a role to play. Just like you have your role, and the ladies with Adams places are going to come up. We had a great conversation with them. But you think about it. Isn't this kind of weird? You got five lobbyists per page, 65 lobbyists. And none of them's talking about this issue? Zero.
See,
zero.
If you're not a politician and you heard somebody talking about lobbyists, I would think the sadder thing would be that these organizations, these groups, they have to have lobbyists. They have to have a spokesperson come to talk to lawmakers, because that would look like that gives the appearance that lawmakers aren't listening to the general public. You know, they have to have somebody to listen to.
And in all fairness, I mean, I was at the base yesterday. Well, I call it the base, Seward Air Force Base, what we call it, you know, and Smart Airport. You know, the 118th is going to be moving out there. And the colonel was out there, and I can't never say his name right, but it's Brian Salukta. I think it's Salukta. And I want to make sure I get it right. Brian somebody sent me how I can pronounce it correctly. It's Salukta. And the former Colonel Jim Reed is when it sent it to me. But anyways, we were out there. Well, his role is to, you know, educate us, educate the mayor, educate the town manager, educate police and fire, educate others that are concerned and really kind of excited to see the economic impact, which is about $400 million. And over the course of the next probably 20 years, it's like $1.5 billion. So it's huge news for Middle Tennessee and our community, Colonel Salukta. But he plays a role, you know, as communicating to us. But what frustrates me is whether you look at the predatory lending that goes on, that, you know, this kind of crap, the General Assembly just raised interest rates. I mean, who does that? But you know what it was? It was powerful lobbies. And I know I'm going to get some people upset that because me talking about this. But when you pass advanced finance, Title Max, check into cash, you know, I say don't lose your title with Title Max. Don't not get your check back from check cash in places. This is nothing but oppression. And nobody's lobbying. No pastor, Scott, is going to talk about this in a Sunday sermon. If there is a pastor, myself, you text me, y'all listeners, 615-525-3198. Name the pastor. And they're silent. And my quote when I got upset in the General Assembly, because my comments went viral. I mean, I just said it's the ugliest bill I've ever seen. I said, who raises interest rates? Who wants higher interest rates? You know, that's where Doge and Elon and Trump, whether you like them or not, they're advocating for lower interest rates. And you look at these kids and middle-income, middle-class folks, they're going to get in bondage with these places at 300%, 400% interest. Somebody needs to take a stand. And I'm telling you, it's like I quoted Edmund Burke. He said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And there's a lot of good men not doing a dang thing out there about this stuff. People just aren't educated, I guess. And then today we don't have a press. They're not going to go. Nobody in the media even covered this stuff.
Again, State Representative Mike Sparks, we're about out of time already, but with the Tennessee National Guard moving the 118th into Smyrna, how big of a difference is that going to make as far as helping the economy in Smyrna? Because you're talking about a huge amount of money for rebuilding a portion of that base, building new buildings there, and then the workers coming in.
Here's some stats right here. This is according to Channel 2 News. 8 to 10 years to complete, estimated $1.93 billion, which almost $2 billion in economic impact, and the total projected impact throughout 2050 is almost $6 billion. And I remember when they left at Seward years ago, when Seward closed down, a lot of folks thought Smyrna was going to become a ghost town. But we had the infrastructure. You know, that runway out there can land anything. I mean, Trump can fly. They can fly Air Force One out there. They just redone the runway. I was out there with Evan, the new director, and that was $13 million just for 8,500 feet of runway space right there. So a lot of great things are happening at Smyrna Airport and what some of us call the old Seward Air Force Base. You know, my dad was stationed out there, so it was, you know, he served on the B-17s during World War II, and I was born out there. So it means a lot to me, you know, and folks that have that connection to Seward. So great news for Smyrna, and hats off to Town Manager David Santucci. He was out there with us, and Mayor Esther Reed and others that have been working well with the Tennessee National Guard on this. And we'll be working with our federal delegation as well.
Have they already started construction of some of the new hangars, some of the new buildings they're going to be building out there?
Not yet, as far as putting a spade in the ground, but that should soon be coming. I know the tower out there, my sister used to be their traffic controller up there, and my little brother, who now flies an aircraft, I remember him going to the Civil Air Patrol. So it's kind of neat to see things that were happening 40 years ago and 20 years ago kind of blossoming into things that are so fruitful. But that tower, I was telling the airport director, when I was 19, me and one of my younger brothers, the pilot, we had to carry a couch from the top of the tower. It was a big 2x6 couch. And I think it was my sister's couch that she loaned him or something. She's like, hey, we need to get this couch out of here. And man, it was a heavy couch. We had to carry it all the way down from that tower.
You know, I've never carried furniture up into or down from a air traffic control tower. I've never done that, Mike.
I was telling one of the pilots of the day on that C-17 when we got out there. I had an El Camino because they were cool cars, you know.
No, they weren't.
And I drove out there on San Bernardino Parkway, and the couch fell out out of the back. But
the one that came from the air traffic control office.
I didn't, or tower. I didn't strap it down, but we didn't have to go too far. But thank you, Scott. Thank you, Bart, for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And if anybody would like to learn more, I guess you can just Google Tennessee General Assembly to learn what new bills.
Oh, education scholarship.
Yeah,
exciting news. Exciting for education.
Again, thanks for joining us. State Representative Mike Sparks.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Right now, there's this big talk of tariffs. So we start looking at where do all of our suppliers get their product from. Even though we're buying it from, and it looks like it's from an American company, but they're getting it from China. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value. When the prices do go up, we have at least a cushion to work off of. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.